Hey, celebrate and rejoice. It's Rob Nichols and friends on Fly Me to the Moon, the podcast. Not to be confused with Fly Me to the Moon, the song, or the fragrance for men.
Yes, still as surreal as it was in 2016, thanks to Phil Leonis, Ace Director, for actually launching us once again into a podcast companion for not only the retrospective issue 572, which is, of course, Leicester City, but also the upcoming battle of the Titans, which is what we can say, between, of course, Rob Nichols and the Might of the Borough against the equally extraordinary Blades from show.
What a start to the new year.
Tony McDonald would have slammed the phone down straight away had we said the Blades, wouldn't you? Of course, the Owls from Sheffield Wednesday.
Absolute disgrace.
Yeah. I don't know, all these years, and it's your first time on Fly Me to the Moon, the podcast, in your official capacity, Tony, as the Middlesbrough's probably sole Sheffield Wednesday cat flag waving soul, really.
Possibly in this region, yes. More than likely, yes.
Well, it's all good stuff. We also welcome a young man from the University of Leeds, where he's actually reading journalism. It's Oliver Dixon making his debut on the production today. How are you, Oliver?
Hello, I'm great, thank you very much.
And you're not a Sheffield Wednesday fan?
No, I'm not.
No, I just wanted to clarify that. So, on this particular edition, a look back over... Well, we got kind of what we were asking for, because I did, if you recall, on the last podcast, Rob, say, oh, we really want 3 points for Christmas. We got 4 points.
True.
So, yeah, positive stuff from that point of view. And, of course, we've got Rudi Gerstedt, who can stand like some kind of iceberg. You know, he do all sorts of things. 5 girls last year. How many girls will he get this year?
Yes.
Amazing. Will he be a swapsie with Jordan Rhodes? We don't know. Tony, share with us, what are your views on Borough's transfer activity?
Well, speaking to some sort of friends who are obviously big fans, a lot bigger fans than I am, they don't seem too enthused, let's say, by the signing. But there's still a month, isn't there, left, and there seems to be rumours that Rhodes is moving our way, but whether that happens, we shall see.
Jordan Rhodes to Sheffield Wednesday. Had you heard that one, Rob?
No, but nothing surprises me with the Jordan Rhodes deals. Obviously, whoever takes him on is going to have to find a lot of money. There is the other possibility, which doesn't seem that great, but that one of Rhodes' purple patches was when he was playing alongside Gerstedt at Blackburn Rovers. They scored a hatful in 2 seasons together, so I don't know whether that's in anybody's thinking.
It could work out perfectly. Oliver, your thoughts on Rudi, a message for you, Rudi. It's a line I could make, but it's going to be over your head because you're far too young to even remember that tune.
Yeah, special, isn't it?
Yeah, very good.
Yeah, on that, I don't think Krenke would ever venture to up front, really. He hasn't done it. He's very stubborn with his formation, so I wouldn't really see Gerstedt and Rhodes together, but I think maybe off the bench he offers a bit more than Rhodes. If Negredo's starting up front, maybe Gerstedt off the bench is a better option than Rhodes off the bench.
In this particular production, well, not only will we be looking back over some of Borough's wonderful exploits over times past, but also we'll find out, Tony, when Steve Gibson was replaced by Rob Nichols, when Rory Rob Nichols was actually Steve Gibson, the chairman the chairman of Middlesbrough Football Club. In fact, it's like a gift. We're into New Year. Would you like us to open up that gift right now, Tony, and find out how did Rob Nichols become Steve Gibson's stand-in?
I'd love to know that. Yeah. A dream job for Rob, I'd imagine.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, what would be the equivalent of you becoming the stand-in for the Sheffield Wednesday chairman, I presume? So you'd have to speak Portuguese.
The manager, or the chairman now, should I say, he's a Thai. Huh? A billionaire.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
If you make a fortune in tuna, then the obvious next step is Sheffield Wednesday.
Inevitably, Rob, share with us when you actually stood in for Steve Gibson.
It was back in the summer, and it was an honour to be asked by the Sir Bobby Robson Foundation that the trustees weren't available to receive a cheque, and I was able to stand in. It was a cheque for £1,000. Presented by Jonathan Davidson, who's a senior cost manager, and he's part of the Freemasons Acklam Lodge, and they'd raised that money. which meant a lot to him, and to because of family members that had been ill with cancer, and it was an honour to be able to stand in and receive that at an event in Linthorpe in the summer.
As you can tell, it may have been six months ago, but we still remember it fondly. Tremendous stuff there. So, I mean, having put that together, and interestingly, the Sir Bobby Robson Foundation obviously still owing a lot to Middlesbrough Football Club.
Yeah. Really.
Okay, so moving on. Share with us, Tony, how did you first become a Sheffield Wednesday follower?
Well, sadly, my dad introduced me to it many, many years ago, and talking about mid-70s. In days of old terracing and standing up, and then became obviously hooked on it in their teenage years and followed him here, there and everywhere in younger years, less so now because time doesn't allow, but still follow him week in, week out, through the many ups and downs, and they've been sadly mainly downs in recent years, but we've had some good times in previous decades, let's say.
Sheffield Wednesday 0, Wolves 0, being, of course, the last scoreline, which is exactly the same as Middlesbrough scoreline, of course, Rob.
Absolutely.
So, I mean,
I don't see somebody being high-scoring, put it that way.
Yeah, that's true, isn't it? Yeah.
I mean, Rob, when Sheffield Wednesday were drawn out, was it a case of a yelp of joy, or did you think, could be a toughie?
I think you're always pleased to get a home draw for a start, and then you get a home draw from a club that's in a division below you, then again, that's really good. But since the draw, really, Sheffield Wednesday have hit form, and of course, beating Newcastle United on TV
was good.
Yeah. But that stood out, didn't it?
And beating in five, I think, as well.
Right.
It'd be difficult.
So, and currently in sixth place in the Championship. So, it's interesting one from that.
Yeah. And obviously, the Exborough player, Adam Reach, playing pretty well for Sheffield. Is he playing well, Tony?
He is, yeah. The only thing on Sunday is the side we'll pick. I have a feeling it's going to end up Middlesbrough reserves against Sheffield Wednesday reserves, I think. But Adam Reach is after a sort of slow start. He's making the team regularly now, so there's every chance he probably won't play on Sunday because he'll probably rest all the first team, which he has annoyingly has a habit of doing in the cup games. He rests all the league guys, and so. Could be a very different team that you see. I can't see it being the same team you put out against Newcastle, put it that way.
No.
And Oliver, I mean, as you're obviously closer to Sheffield in your Leeds base than you are sort of currently in the studios here at Teesside, what are your views on Sheffield Wednesday? Do you think it's going to be the start of a glorious run to Wembley for Eishocker Anchor's men?
I'm not too sure. I think it'll be harder than it looks on paper, really. As with the Premier League side, I don't think it's going to be a given, but I think it'll be very difficult.
It'll be the start of all sorts of glory scenarios here. I notice we haven't talked about the league because Middlesbrough obviously just teasing clubs like Mike Field, former Mike Field, of course, he's now left Hull City, and so after obviously deciding challenges were actually there. In fact, that means all the three bottom sides have now effectively changed their manager.
Yes, that's hope stability counts for something.
Well, it's like the Watford way is what I like to say. Yeah. The Watford way, that's the way forward with that.
They're tottering, aren't they? Our next opponent as well
could be critical for that, Bobby. But let's look briefly back over Borough's Premiership scenario. I did say, Rob, when we last spoke by telephone, that my command was quite simple. My request was, Middlesbrough 4, Manchester United 0. When the first goal went in, I thought they're on their way.
Yeah,
what happened?
It was a tremendous game, incredible atmosphere. Obviously, we had to withstand a real barrage and tremendous way for Ledbetter to make his first start of the season and score. He converted that chance so well. If others had shown the same composure, I'm thinking maybe Traore for instance, then we might have been even further ahead. Obviously, we had a fair slice of luck with Ibrahimovic.
Surely it was never a goal. Surely it was never a goal.
Yeah, and obviously hitting the post and things like that. Then after we were ahead, there really was like the Alamo. And I think this is a Man United side now that when they click, they have so many so many great players.
This is
and
not
so
very good for me, Rob. You appreciate that. This make me feel a little bit concerned.
I know, but it has to be said that they look so potent up front, and they were just bringing on forward after forward, weren't they? And I've seen a fair amount of criticism, and people were saying to me as they were coming out, we should not have taken Traore off. But with actually, they'd taken Smalling off. They'd sort of really loaded the dice with... There was two men on Callum Chambers who was playing as a right-back. We had Espinosa making his Borough debut as centre-back. He looked phenomenal, actually. He looked like a really great player. But he was obviously getting tired. But, yeah, they had two players on Chambers. And as well as Traore was trying to defend, he's not a defender. So I thought it was the right call to bring Fabio on. I don't think it had much to do with it. The equaliser. And the
was it not just a case of why did you just celebrate Alex Ferguson's 75th birthday?
I think so, yeah. Mm. No, it was very similar to the goal that we can also mention about Burnley, because it was a very similar goal, wasn't it? It was a long ball and a flick header on, and so I think that's something we're going to have to look at, that we've two games in a row we were undone by the long ball route, and then once the first goal had gone in, then it was just like, can we, oh, is that 5 minutes, how can we hang on for it? And we didn't.
Yeah. Anyway, we'll talk a bit more about Burnley and various other factors. Tony, if you're still kind enough to stay with us, we would like your predictions for the upcoming FA Cup game. And we'll have a little look at Sheffield Wednesday and whether you think actually they might join Middlesbrough in the Premiership next season. See what I did there, Rob.
Obviously,
you're saying that, you know, all is well with the world. Yeah. Can't have Leeds coming up, for God's sakes. You know? Too much in so many ways. But we might find out a bit more about that. All of that and more, plus the connection between a Match of the Day editor and Rob Nichols and 70s rock music.
In today's crowded world, it's sometimes hard to get heard. And sometimes you need a little extra push to be heard. That's where Manila PR can help. We specialise in online radio and press for independent bands, with prices to match, and have been doing so for the last decade. So if you have a noise to make, make it with Manila. Visit manilapr.com now.
Here are some handy tips and information regarding your hospital bedside TV, radio and phone service. TV channels 1 to 5 are free to use at certain times every day, so check your screen for details. To help you keep in touch with friends and loved ones, outgoing calls are also free all day, every day, to landline numbers that begin with 01, 02 or 03. Radio channels can be listened to absolutely free at any time of day. If you fancy a film, we have over 80 great films to choose from, to suit all ages and all film tastes. Why not check out the free film trailers and see if there's anything you fancy? If the latest blockbuster film isn't your thing, then how about one of our classic films, such as The Great Escape, Rain Man, or Some Like It Hot?
250?
250?
Yeah.
You're crazy. You ought to be locked up. You too. 250 guys just walking down the road just like that.
Of course, I'm an excellent driver.
You know how to drive?
Yeah.
Rayman! You never touch the steering wheel when I'm driving. Do you hear me?
Of course, I don't have my underwear.
To find out more about bedside entertainment services and find a bundle to suit your needs, just pick up the bedside phone and speak to the friendly Hospedia customer care team. They'll help you find the best deal. And remember, to contact Hospital Radio, just pick up the phone and dial *800.
Hi, this is Chase Masterson, founder of the Pop Culture Hero Coalition, the first ever organization to make a stand against bullying, racism, misogyny, LGBT bullying, cyberbullying, and other forms of hate using pop culture stories that we love. We all love superheroes. Why not be one? Check out our website at www.popculturehero.org. Follow us on Facebook at Pop Culture Hero Coalition and on Twitter at Superhero IRL. Thanks so much.
Hi, this is Jean Bruce Scott.
And Randy Reinholz.
And when we're not busily producing some of the most outstanding Native American theater in Los Angeles,
we always like to check out the best of British audio adventures with Alex Lefchuk and his team of the Midweek Drive.
And Midweek Drive morning editions on Siren FM.
And Southside Broadcasting. Podbean.com.
Hi, this is Bernie Slavin, and you're listening to Rob Nichols on Time at the Moon.
Thank you, Bernie.
Yeah, so here we are looking at a photograph of Paul Wilkinson. Do you remember Paul Wilkinson, Tony McDonough?
Certainly did, yes. Did he play for Forest as well?
He did.
Exactly.
He did indeed.
But apparently he had a complete makeover when he actually joined Middlesbrough, because he shifted from being a distinctly unfashionable, Germanic-looking individual, sort of unappealing combination of Rudi Voller, the lead guitarist of the Scorpions, and a certain kind of actor who might play the handyman in a Specialist Under the Counter Continental VHS film. Apparently Armstrong sorted him out with respect to that. And he soon changed, did he not, Rob?
He did indeed. He put his cycling shorts on, got a short back and sides, and shaved that moustache off, and started scoring lots of goals for fun for Borough up front.
Exactly. But the reminiscences of Paul Armstrong, former Match of the Day editor, of course, when it used to be good, have taken this to a whole new era, haven't they, really?
Yeah, well, this was a different era. This was the early 90s, and he was editing, it was one of his first big games, wasn't it? And it was Middlesbrough versus a little team at the time called Man City, I think. Is that right?
No. Carry on.
They were perhaps a division above us, I don't know. And it was a big sort of, it was a big cup shock, and because we've got a tremendous record against Manchester City over the years, and this is one of the games that sort of set that all up. And Paul thought he'd actually got Middlesbrough. For once, we would be the feature match, but we were out-scooped right at the end, which when one of the all-time cup shocks came, and I think was it Wrexham beat Arsenal?
I remember that well.
Yeah. Funnily enough, similar thing happened when we beat Manchester City at Man City a couple of seasons ago.
Obviously the Cosmos is not happy.
Yeah.
Sort of thing.
They were the Premier League champions.
But you don't want me to start itching my nose and sort of saying, fart, otherwise.
No. We walked out of that and thought, this is unbelievable. We've just beaten Man City, the Premier League champions, and we're a second flight team. Only to find out that Bradford City had beaten Chelsea at Chelsea. Like nobody ever beat. That was one of the first teams to beat Chelsea at Stamford Bridge in any competition for years.
Oh, Richie. And Oliver, from your own point of view, as somebody who's looks back at this whole. So when did you first start following the Borough?
Oh, ever since I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, my dad was a season ticket holder for a number of years, and just followed with him, really.
So you've suffered the pain,
yep,
you've suffered the delights as well.
Yeah.
And do you think that things are set fair, or do you think that Borough is still in that sort of tantalising area of just a few points ahead of, obviously, those other clubs in the drop zone?
Yeah, well, it was always going to be like that, really, I think. I don't think some people thought that we wouldn't be in a relegation scrap at all, but I think we were always going to be there or thereabouts, really. Well, I'd take 17th happily now.
Mm. Tony, from your own perspective, obviously with the agency being based in Middlesbrough and sorting through other aspects, I mean, what do you pick up on in terms of how Middlesbrough are actually doing? I mean, you know, we each year Sunderland tease us by pretending that they're going to be relegated. Each year they manage to stay up. You know, Newcastle obviously sort of did the business last year, but look as though they're coming back up. What are your thoughts on sort of Borough's current form and so on?
I mean, looking sort of from afar, I always, in my head, I think Karanka's a Premier League manager all day long. I think the style he has suits the Premier League. I just don't think he's quite got the right sort of players around him at the minute. And that's going to take Middlesbrough probably a season or two. If he can just stay in there just this first season, then next summer he probably will get the perfect team, I think. For me, he's a continental manager whose style is perfect for the Premier League. So they just need to hang in there. And I think they will. I think they'll finish around sort of 15th or so, just stay up, and then hopefully get some attractive signings for him to show what he really is capable of next year.
Rob, you'd satisfy yourself
with
that.
Agreed, yeah.
See, happiness is put forward.
I think you do. I think you've got to sort of establish yourself. You've got to survive, and then season by season you grow, and you're able to attract better players the longer you're in and the more established you are as a Premier League club, aren't you?
You look at teams like Stoke and Southampton and things like that.
Yeah, exactly.
I could add Swansea, who knows what could happen with respect to Swansea, particularly now Mr. Clements is in charge.
For me, like Swansea are a good example of getting too ambitious, where they had a great setup going on and changed it, and sort of mid-table in the Premiership didn't seem good enough for Swansea, and I was scratching my head wondering, Swansea, what are you expecting?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, true enough, obviously...
That's as good as it's ever going to get for them.
Yeah, and obviously it's a key thing is stability off the field, and and Swansea have just been bought out by that. We thought they were a fans club, and they thought they were a fans club, and they were suddenly sold, and some dubious decisions really that have been made.
Still, at least there's always Bournemouth, and of course the news that Sam Allardyce will continue his excellent work at Crystal Palace, as recently demonstrated, which is all good stuff there. So, Tony, in terms of predictions, what is your suggestion for the Middlesbrough-Sheffield Wednesday third round FA Cup tie? What's it going to be?
I would say I don't think it's going to be too exciting, let's put it that way, without wanting to put a dampener on it. The way we play away from
home. You can tell he's a real Sheffield Wednesday supporter. Don't get too excited now. Calm down.
We very much play on the break, so playing away from home actually suits us better. So I can see us getting a draw and then hopefully winning the replay at Hillsborough. One all would be my prediction, and then win a replay.
Okay. Oliver, will you be going?
Yes, I will, actually.
Okay, so what's your thoughts on the game?
I think it'll be tight. I think maybe 1-0 Borough will nick it.
Okay. Now, will Gestede be playing, or will it be too soon? I mean, will he sort of come out there and score, obviously, you know, four goals, you know, and sort of completely sort of open things up?
It's a good question, of course, if there's anybody that Middlesbrough are looking to sell as well, whether players won't play because of
Cup tie.
And I think there's a few lessons to be learned. I think last season we went into the FA Cup third round fearing staying in the cup, because the season before that it appeared to become a distraction. We fell away in the league. Then last season it went the other way. We got beaten by Burnley. We were well up at half time, and really that changed the dynamic between Burnley and Middlesbrough for the rest of the season. So then if you look at the start of this season, remember, Alex, we played Fulham in the League Cup, and it was as if neither team wanted a win. It was really, really bad game.
Has the magic gone into the trophies then?
Well, both teams were really very much thinking the league is what we want, and that went into extra time, but it didn't do us any good playing like that. I think that we've got to go out there and maybe play a fairly strong side and have a go and to beat Sheffield Wednesday, and I'm going to go for 2-0.
There we are. Rob, very positive on that point of view. I'm going to go 2-1 to Middlesbrough.
Yeah.
I have a feeling they probably will just do it enough to actually get through. Obviously choking with the emotion of the whole thing.
We're all choking with emotion.
I think Tony was using the power of the force to strangle me there for a minute. Okay, go on. Rob, anything else that has emerged from the point of view of Fly Me to the Moon? Issue 572.
Yeah, indeed. I asked, because it was a Christmas one, and you can't ask everyone to work over Christmas, I asked a few people to make a contribution, just looking forward and looking back actually over 2016, but then looking forward as well. And I got some interesting people. There's a guy called Jeff Vickers who used to be the Supporters South secretary for many years, and he came up for a weekend just before Christmas and said, "Did you enjoy it?" And it was interesting because he's written his account of his football weekend in Middlesbrough, and this is what we're seeing this season from being in the Premier League. We're seeing more people coming up and staying the weekend.
And realising Middlesbrough is the place to go if you can't get off to Monaco or the Costa Blanca.
People very much enjoying that you can actually stop in a hotel right in the middle of town. You can go up Baker Street and Bedford Street. You can go to Mima Smeltery for your breakfast. Maybe you can get up and do a park run. You could go up the Transporter Bridge. There's quite a lot to do and all within walking distance. So I was really pleased to read that. And this is the sort of feedback we've been getting this season so far from like Bournemouth fans enjoying the Orange Pit Market at Baker Street before the matches. Things that we never heard before, really. And it's quite a refreshing change. And it's good to be able to sort of counterpoint all the to go against all this the media sort of
I could almost hear now in the McDonough household where Mr. and Mrs. McDonough are settling down, and Tony says, "Darling, how do you fancy a weekend in Middlesbrough this Christmas?" And in times past that might have been greeted with scorn, but now, of course, as you rightly said, so much wonderment that's actually there, Tony, you know, as well as the Middlesbrough Institute of Modern Art, Sherlock's and so on.
I've been living here, 15 years now, and I can see a complete change from when I first moved up. And Robbie's right, it's the outside press have put such a downer on Middlesbrough, and it's got its problems, but hasn't every city, but it's also got some fabulous stuff right on its doorstep, not just surrounding it and in town, and it's a world away from what I very first moved into, and it's just get us getting the positive stuff out there to people.
The Love Middlesbrough campaign is definitely working for me, as Jeff Vickers says. And why not? So that pretty much brings us to the end of the Fly Me to the Moon podcast companion, a sort of preview of the FA Cup third round tie against Sheffield Wednesday, and of course the companion to issue 572, the Leicester City game, which has now been and gone. And I mean, was it as bad as people said it was? Actually,
it was. It was funny, really, because I'd say Gaston Ramirez summed it up, really, because he wasn't a player that played against Man U, but obviously to play two games in 45 hours is ridiculous, mm-hmm. and to expect them to go out and perform, it's not
good. Even worse next year. Six games in 10 days or something. It's quite a sort of...
Apparently. Yeah, but Ramirez was pretty... He was really, really... hot and cold, and but then he had the chance. He summed it up because he had a gift at the end to score and missed from about, I don't know, a few feet away, didn't he? Really,
I thought Negredo looked a bit tired.
Yeah,
on Sunday.
Doesn't he always? Sorry,
yeah.
it's just so fatigued. Never mind. With the reconnection of Rudi Gestede, I'm sure marvelous stuff there too. It'd be like two sort of bizarre icebergs going through the times there. We've got to wrap up now. I wouldn't actually ask Tony to sort of say, come on, Borough, and after Borough, because, again, he would probably can't do that.
We should wish everyone Happy New Year, though, Alex.
We should indeed.
This is our New
Year. This is our first official 2017 launch of Flavies of the Moon, so Happy
Tony
New Year.
Tony could join us in that, couldn't he?
You could, yeah, exactly. Tony, would you like to join us in wishing Happy New Year to our podcast listeners? Three, two, one. Happy New Year, podcast listeners. There we are. And come on, Borough, up the road, which will wrap up the Fly Me to the Moon thing. Next one, of course, being the West... No, it's what I say, West Ham game. Is it the West Ham game? It's actually the Everton game that we were looking for. It's home.
Oh, yeah. Everton, I can remember. It's February, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. All very confusing. We're talking about Watford and various other factors. How can people subscribe to the paper edition of Fly Me to the Moon, Rob?
Oh, yeah. They can still... I've still got enough... I've still not thrown out every single issue.
You shouldn't say that. These are collector's items. These are like gold dust.
They
would be awash with stuff.
Don't ask me
things.
For any from last season, because I don't know whether I've got them still. You can send a cheque, £22 for family. You might want to do the last five of the season, including the one we're talking about now. That might be better. Yep. That's £11, and it's cheque to Fly Me at the Moon. And the address is Fly Me to the Moon, Unit 7, Brentnell Centre, Jilks Street, Middlesbrough, TS15AP, or find us online at fmttm.com.
And are there any exciting things that we can look forward to in addition to the Whitby Festival and various other factors in terms of musicians that you're going to be working with, Tony? Or is it a case of keep listening to Southside, you'll find all sorts of magical things there?
We're still involved with the four festivals, and Musicport's one of them, and I think sort of Beverly Festival probably nearer to you guys at Siren FM. We're working with, but yeah, we've got some like exciting guys. I think Ian Prowse is up in Stockton in a 2 months' time, and a lady called Els Bailey. She's heading to the northeast, but yeah, this week we're sort of setting the roster up. So yeah,
exactly.
There's plenty to be going on.
And both Els Bailey and Ian Prowse, wonderful souls, who we featured, of course, in 2016, and here we are, 2017. Oliver, have you enjoyed your first ever Fly Me to the Moon?
Yes, very much so. Thank you very much for having me.
And Tony, have you also enjoyed your first ever Fly Me to the Moon?
Yes, very much so. Thank you very much.
It's all very polite, isn't it?
Yes, very polite.
It's wonderful. That's great stuff.
You can tell it's before the match. Before the cup match.
Yes. It's the important thing that we're actually... We'll be back in the very near future. For the moment, Rob, would you like to lead us, though, in that wonderful thing? Seven little simple words. Off we go. One, two, three.
Come on, Borough. And up the Borough.
Celebrate and rejoice. It's Rob Nichols and friends on Fly Me to the Moon, the podcast.